You're now listening to the Boss Buzz Podcast by Boss Up Magazine, bringing you an intimate conversation with bosses around the world on all of their current and future boss moves. To learn more about Boss Up Magazine, visit bossupmag.org. Make sure you stay socially connected on Instagram and Facebook via Boss Up Mag. Now, it's time to learn all about the new bosses in town. So let's boss up and catch the buzz with the official boss herself, Twanita Dozier.
Hey, hey, bosses. Welcome to the Boss Buzz Podcast. My name is Ray Parker, and I am your guest host today for this episode. Today, I'm bringing you the buzz with Darby from Atlanta, Georgia. She will be telling us all about her business, BCA culture, and so let's get started. Hey, Darby.
Hey, Ray, how are you?
I'm fine. Can you please tell our listeners today more about yourself and BCA culture, please?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Darby and was born in Tennessee, raised in Georgia, went back to college in Tennessee and studied finance international business. Once I graduated, I actually ran into a successful real estate investor who began to teach me, you know, the fundamentals of building wealth. And from there, I got exposed to business credit funding, using other people's money to start businesses. And fast forward about 5-10 years later, started meeting other investors who were using the same concept that he was using at the time, and launched into teaching business owners how to obtain funding, how to secure funding, the different options for getting funding. And I met my business partner, Adam, a few years ago. He's a software developer. And I started sharing with him this idea, this vision, like, yo, you know, I have this knowledge that I've learned over the years, and I would love to be able to put this into like a system that can keep everything organized. Because at the time I was teaching online classes, and it was just starting, I started noticing that every business owner, they were at different levels. Right. And so I was like, how do I keep up with, you know, a business owner that might be 20 years established, but who doesn't have, you know, business credit or who hasn't obtained funding? They've just always bootstrapped, you know? Yes. How do I teach an entrepreneur at that level? They have the years, but they might not have, you know, the credit, versus maybe a startup entrepreneur, right, that is like on fire. They've heard about funding. They're like 2 years into their business, and they were like on fire, had already started building up a little credit, but wanted to know how to get to the next level. So we were running into all kinds of like different business owners at different levels. And so I started explaining to Adam, hey, I think that this should be put, at the time I thought it was called a CRM system, to be honest. And I was like, I think this needs to be put into a CRM system so we can keep up with our customers and know, you know, where they're at in the process. The more I started explaining it to him, the more he was like, this is a software, and whatever you envision, I can build it. And voila, that's how BCA culture was born.
Awesome. If you build it, they will come.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So what is your inspiration behind the company?
You know, it's really knowing entrepreneurs who need assistance with funding and who just didn't have the resources or the incorrect knowledge. I know that my main drive was knowing that feeling of you have a business that's making money, but then when I used to go apply for credit, I would get denied for business credit because I didn't have any business credit built up. And so from that, it just started, I just started attracting other entrepreneurs who were running into the same challenges, and I had the answers because I've been there, done that. I had a lot of mentors who showed me the ins and outs of the industry, the ropes, you know, how it was changing, how it's evolved. And I just took heed to it and started just really reaching out and teaching entrepreneurs like, hey, this is available. Whether you have bad personal credit, whether you have good personal credit, business credit and funding are totally separate from your personal credit if you want to build it this particular way. So it came out of a need. It came out of seeing entrepreneurs go through those struggles that I knew, like, you know what, I have an answer to. And that's really what it's been birthed out of, is just really serving.
Wow, that's great to know. Okay, so that's funny you said that, because my next question is, you are a champion of small businesses taking advantage of establishing business credit, which is great. Very great, Darby. Oh my God, this information is so essential. However, can you tell our audience the process for new businesses with no credit at all?
Absolutely. So there's different entity classifications. Most business owners are sole proprietors, where, let's just say, for instance, Ray, what is it that you like to do, right? Let's just use, can I use this as an example?
Sure. I feel put on the spot, but sure. Okay, so I have a company that I'm building called New You New Life, and I have Glam Boss Magazine, which is an up-and-coming magazine in the event industry, but it's more so about the personal growth of the person rather than what they do. And then I have several things going on at one time, so I'm going to keep quiet.
Okay, so let's take the Glam Boss Magazine, just for example, right? So as a new starter, let's say you're just getting started, and let's say that you have a separate entity for your magazine, or maybe you don't. Most business owners, which we have run into, are operating as sole proprietors, where you're doing business publicly as, you know, Glam Boss Magazine, but when sponsors or advertisers, and I'm not saying that this is you, but I'm just saying they're actually writing checks or sending sponsorships to you under your name. Most independent contractors or sole proprietors are operating like that and don't have a separate entity. Right. So the first thing that I always encourage business owners to do is have a separate entity. What classifies as an entity? LLC, a limited liability company, a C corporation, an S corporation, nonprofit organizations, 501(c)s, which are classified as nonprofits, 501(c)(6), which are classified as nonprofit organizations. But having something that's legally separate from you. So when you're doing business, you do have to register, obtain an EIN with the IRS.
Yes.
You operate your business under that EIN. You set up a bank account under your business name, not necessarily under your personal name. So who you are, Ray, for example, as a person, you've been given a social security number. We're given that at birth, right? I remember when I had my son, the first thing that they did was make sure that we had all his paperwork filled out for Social Security Administration. So when we operate in the world, we have our socials to operate personally. But in the business world, we have an EIN so we can operate business-wise. And the beautiful things about EIN is that each entity, each business that you have, can have an EIN number. So to answer your question, I always suggest that you personally begin to separate you from your business. And when you really do that, set up a legal entity, register with your Secretary of State, you know, make sure that you have your business license. If your state or if your county requires that, make sure that those items are in place. Make sure, you know, again, that you have the separate bank account. Make sure that you have a website. Make sure that you have a separate phone line, you know, a professional email address. For example, in your case with your magazine, info@glamboss or sales@glamboss. Yes. So just having those different things that begin to separate your business, those are really some fundamental basics that a lot of business owners can do. There's about 25 steps, but those are the real big ones where I see business owners are operating as sole proprietors. But as a sole proprietor, in the business world, you're looked at as an individual. You really mm-hmm. want to have an EIN under your business and have an entity so you can really play ball in the funding world and in the business credit world under your corporate name or under your entity's name.
Awesome. So I guess I'm going to come back to this question a little bit more because I want to know what is the financial model? Like, how do they go by setting up their financial model as a beginner?
You know, I always say keep good records. Always consult with a CPA or a bookkeeper to even talk about like your entity type and your structure, whether you should start out as an LLC, whether you should start out, you know, as a C corporation or an S corporation. It's always great to speak with your CPA because depending upon the industry that you're in business or depending upon how profitable you might be or if you're going to take a loss in business or what your plans are in business, that would determine accounting-wise how your structure needs to be set up. So I always tell every business owner, get an awesome accountant and preferably one who specializes in your industry.
Okay, great advice. So, as an entrepreneur, what is a misconception you have learned most people have about entrepreneurship?
That it is, I want to say, most people think of entrepreneurship like a job in the sense of, they think, oh, I just work X amount of hours and I'm done. Mm-hmm. But entrepreneurship is ongoing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think with social media, it's been so glamorized. And I love the fact that more people are encouraged to be entrepreneurs and bosses and female bosses and, you know, just having all this swag and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful thing to see, but also I see where mentorship and guidance and wisdom is also needed because it'll help shorten the learning curves mm-hmm. so that way business owners can be more profitable. It's more than just posting, you know, online. It's more than just, you know, marketing. It's really building like long lasting relationships so you can build a true business model. So all of us, even I, you know, when I first started my companies, you know, we're in that hustle mode. You know, we're getting it off the ground, we're launching it, and majority of our energy goes into launching. Okay. So I understand that. But then if your business cannot run without you being there, it cannot make money without you having to put your hands on it, then you have to begin to model your business as a business to where you can delegate and people can run your business and you can make money whether you are there or not.
That goes back to processes and systems. Definitely. Yes. Definitely. How will your business operate where it can look like the CEO is still in the building when she's actually on vacation in Dubai? Yes, you definitely want it to operate like that. I agree. So
the pandemic has come. It's really, you know, just paying attention. The writing's on the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. What is one thing you see most frustrates you about new businesses? Besides what we've spoken about?
I would say, I would think with new business owners, one of the things that I've seen is that they want to rush their process. Mm-hmm. They want to rush their process. They might see my chapter 10 or your chapter 20, and they really want to rush their process. A lack of respect for business and understanding that it's process. You have to go through your process, your natural processes, and enjoying the journey. Also, another thing that I see business owners do is they want this grandiose. They have this grandiose idea. You know, I'm the number one this. I'm the number one that. I'm going to be the best and stuff. But yet, I see a lot of business owners that miss out on opportunities by not forming partnerships.
Oh, that's good.
Other businesses.
So how would you recommend them to do so? To form those partnerships, pardon me.
Yeah. So if you notice And this is where the small business owners sometimes miss it. A lot of times miss opportunities, because as a small business owner, they just want to be the one. I want to be the biggest wedding planner in the city, right? I want to do this. But partner with, maybe if you're in the wedding industry, partner with wedding shows, partner with influencers in your area, partner with churches, partner with spring festivals where you can showcase. If you know that the spring is a hot time for, you know, weddings, mm-hmm. then partner with festivals where you can get access to people. Let's say that you bake cakes, okay? Partner mm-hmm. with someone that, you know, might be popular or a micro influencer who loves to sample food. Partnering, creating and establishing relationships. If you are looking to obtain funding, partner with your local bank. You know, just really creating those industries. And you don't necessarily have to partner with someone that's like your direct. Like if you're a wedding planner, it doesn't mean you have to partner with another wedding planner, but don't be afraid to if you need to, because there might be a wedding planner that's 10 years up the road who can say, okay, don't go down that street. And they could they would outsource, and maybe they can outsource some services to you that maybe they're not able to fulfill because they're focused on another aspect of planning. So just being able to partner and understanding when it's our time to shine and when it's our time to like really learn and glean.
That's good. Okay, so do you offer any type of higher education for your client or prospective client to structure their new businesses as new owners for a successful financial model going forward? And if so, tell us about it.
You know, we offer like micro learning on bcaculture.com. So as a business owner goes throughout our program, then in that we have like quick micro learning videos, talk about the different entity types, you know, different things to look for, and maybe an accountant, you know, different aspects of your team. We really transitioned it because we began to realize that, you know, business owners really want to build, you know, your businesses correctly, but don't necessarily have the time. Right. So we put them in the micro learning videos. They're like 3 minutes or less. So you can still get the knowledge only of what you need and then go and apply it and go do it.
Wow, that's awesome. Darby, you mentioned that you assist your clients with obtaining high level loans. Mm-hmm. Can you please go into detail of what a high level loan is? And is it beneficial to have one for your business and why?
Yeah, so high level funding and high limit funding is basically for entrepreneurs that are looking for $100,000 and above in funding. Some high limit funding, even like on a business line of credit, maybe like a credit card or something, is considered like $15,000 or more for business owners. And so we work with business owners to get to that point where you're able to, one, have the capacity for that type of funding and have the revenue for that type of funding. And then also on how to leverage, how to, you know, take that money, use other people's money, use the line of credit, use the term loans, utilize SBA funding, utilize bank funding to be able to invest back into your business, invest back into your employees, invest back into your marketing, so that way your business can continue to grow.
Absolutely. So can businesses with discrepancies in their personal credit obtain business credit? Is yes. there a special process they must go through opposite of someone who doesn't have it, any issues in their credit per se?
No. So initially on, it's no. When you first start building out your business credit, it's completely based on your company. The way that we teach it in our software, it's completely based on your company's EIN. However, when you start wanting to advance into the higher limit funding, then especially if you're going a more traditional route, we do have like other routes where, you know, we could do creative financing, or there's other alternative to traditional. Traditional, I mean like banks, traditional banks, larger banks.
Yes.
So there's other alternatives other than that you can obtain funding. But even yet and still, I would say it takes about, 6 to 12 months to really build out your business credit profile, depending upon where you're at. So during that time, I always suggest to clients, myself and my team, we always say, hey, during this time, while your company is building up its own business credit, just go ahead and start getting your personal credit together. Okay. Start getting things in order, and that gives you time to do that. It won't stop you from getting, vendor credit, certain lines of credit. It won't necessarily stop you, but when you start getting into those higher limits, you want to have your personal credit and you want to have your business credit on point.
Awesome. So my next question is, and we're going to go back to the high limit loans. Can you tell us any difference between a high limit loan and a high limit credit card? Are they different or are they one and the same? And then also, which of them do you recommend over the other?
I like lines of credit. I do. I prefer them because with that, whatever you use, let's say that you get a $50,000 credit card, you only use $10,000. Then that's what you pay back, which is the $10,000. You pay that off. And then you still have that $50,000 line of credit, you can just go back and keep making purchases and do what you need to do.
Okay.
With term loans, more traditional loans, those are beneficial depending upon what you're wanting to do and what your, what your long-term goals are. But with that, let's say you take out a full $50,000 loan, then every single month you'll be paying back a small portion to pay off that $50,000 loan. So I look at lines of credit as more advantageous because let's say after 6 months, you're paying that line of credit off on time, ahead of time, you're staying below your thresholds or your limits, then that gives opportunity for your credit limit to be increased. So now maybe you go from $50,000 to $65,000 or to
$75,000. Right.
With a term loan, you get $50,000, you use it up, you pay it back. And then, now with some term loans, they'll be like, okay, well, you used your $50,000. Hey, here's $100,000, but you still have to make the payments on the full $100,000. So it all gets down into the goal of what a business owner wants to do. Most business owners want a line of credit, access to credit cards, be strategic about those credit cards, continue getting your credit limits increased, and then, that gives you access to more capital. You can leverage that. So it just all depends on what the end goal is.
Okay. And one of my last questions before we move on to our tips, which is the awesome segment, is speaking of business building a sustainable financial foundation, what type of accounts would you recommend our audience get as business owners?
Oh, definitely operating expenses and payroll.
Okay.
Like just for the different account types and, a checking account. Definitely have those two accounts. So you can keep track of, your expenses. And then, of course, every business is different. Always get with your accountant because maybe you're in trucking and you need to have another account, for trucking or for repairs to be able to account for everything. Then definitely seek out the accounting.
Right. So it goes back to your lead canvas. Following your lead canvas in business got you.
Yes.
Now, Darby, thank you so much for telling us so much about you and your beautiful business. Now we would like to move on to what we call Boss Success Tips. These tips give our listeners insight on how to successfully start their business journey as well as be an entrepreneur. So, and help them keep going successfully. So let's jump right in, okay?
Okay.
Share some advice that has kept you grounded in your business.
You know what? Put yourself first. I know that might not sound like traditional, but put yourself first. Make sure that your mental health, make sure that your physical health, make sure that your spiritual health as business owners, because we pour so much into others that your cup is full. And then from there, everything else will flow.
Okay. Tell us one thing you learned as a business owner that you wouldn't have known unless someone had told you.
The power of faith and believing in yourself. Mm. And also the power of believing that you will attract the right team. There's certain things that no one can teach you unless you walk through it. And so for me, it definitely was just having faith in myself. If I would have seen that my business life and that my life would be the way that it is now, I envisioned it, you know, years ago. But to be living in it, it requires a level of faith, unwavering faith. I know we hear that word, but it takes work. Faith is not daydreaming. Those are two different things. And I think a lot of times we get those things mixed up. Visualization, yes. Faith, daydreaming, those are all different things.
Yes.
Manifesting.
I heard a young lady, not to cut you off, but I have to say this. I heard a young lady say, faith, walking in faith is walking in obedience.
Yes.
And people don't understand that. They're like, oh, faith without works is dead. Oh, but no, faith without obedience is dead.
Exactly. They go hand in hand, right? Like, you cannot have one without the other. Faith is works. And works is an all-encompassing word. It's works on yourself. Works on your relationship with others. Works on building up your business. And it's the actionable steps that you can do. And there's some things that people cannot. I mean, none of my mentors could give me faith. They could be an example of what it looks like when you believe, but I still had to do my work.
Absolutely. As a business owner, what have you found to be the most valuable to your success?
Being surrounded with the right team. Being surrounded with the right team. When I first got started in business, I was so nervous to delegate. I was completely absorbed into myself. I thought that only Darby can do this. Only Darby can get it right. And that was so, boy, was I wrong.
Right.
I had to learn to delegate. It wasn't until I started delegating that my businesses really began to take off and go on autopilot.
Can you elaborate on that? Because some people don't understand the art of delegation and the art of sharing your vision with the right people.
Yes, it's a good topic. It's something that, our businesses are like, our babies. They're like our children. We have emotional attachments with our businesses. That's natural. As you begin to grow, okay, let's say that when I first got started, I literally was attached to the results of my clients. I took that personal. I was just like, okay, let me call, let me check on them. But delegation is, well, Darby, can the results still happen without you calling? Can you have somebody else call and they still get the results? Because your clients are coming to you for your knowledge. So does that mean that you have to call? And I said, well, no, I don't have to call. Okay, that can be delegated. Because I have to focus on sharpening my knowledge so we can pour it into our clients. The maintenance of clients, the follow-up, social media, those tasks, I was doing that at one point and then outsourced it and then delegated it to someone else. And business began to really flourish and take off because now I wasn't bogged down with the details of business, the details of a client saying, well, I have this question. I could train someone else, which I did. I've trained others who can answer those questions while I focus on something else. Okay, the phone lines. When it first got started, things started, growing fast. I cannot keep up with the phone lines. I cannot keep up with the voicemails and to return calls. So I had to look at myself and say, okay, what are the tasks that you're just not good at? That you just do not have the time to do? That you're not available to maintain? that's what you begin to delegate. And that's what I had to do. And it just saved me so much time. I did not have that feeling of, oh my gosh, I'm missing calls. Oh my gosh, you know, I need to follow up with this client. Oh gosh, a week's gone by, 2 weeks has gone by. I mean, let's just, you know, be real about that thing. We take on way more than we should when we really, as owners, need to focus on the vision and cultivating the vision and getting the right people to run with the vision than trying to do everything ourselves. Answer the phone, you know, stay in, you know, good mental health, you know, stay in good health, stay in connection with your team, you know, doing team training, delegate that out to someone else. You know, you're doing social media, you're posting all the time online, delegate that out to someone else. Mm-hmm. So those are the type of things that, you know, packing up your items. If you sell products, do you have to be the one that has to, you know, hand whip the shea butter? I mean, are you saying that the product isn't, you know, going to last without you being the one to do it? Or can you teach different people different parts of your process if you don't want your whole process to be out there? Can you delegate that to one or two people that could do it for you so you can focus on getting new retail stores that your products can be put in?
Wow. Well, Darby, are there any upcoming events or projects that you want to enlighten us about that your business is involved in or you are personally involved in?
Yeah, absolutely. So mark your calendars and save the date. We are having a virtual business funding conference on June 9th. So June 9th from 6 to 9 p.m. We will begin to open up registration for that over the next week or two. For early registrants to be able to register, to go to bcaculture.com. And we have that coming up. Myself, other great leaders, Mike Anthony Childs, Chris Childs, who are awesome marketing gurus, have generated over $1 billion in sales. We have Michael Bell II. He's going to be speaking. We have Nikita Berrien. We have awesome, awesome, awesome members who are part of BCA Culture who will be sharing their expertise, and it's going to be super, super, super fire. And the tickets go on sale. They'll be $20.21 for 2021, but the event will be on June 9th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's virtual.
Wow, awesome. That sounds like a great lineup.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. Well, Darby, it has been great learning about you and all that you do today. I am so excited about this conversation. Can you tell our listeners how to find you?
Absolutely. We are on all social media platforms as BCA, BCA Culture. Our website is bcaculture.com. On Instagram, we're at BCA Culture Live. And to get in contact with me, my name is Darby, D-A-R-B-I. And I'm on Instagram as at Dominate with Darby. And on Facebook as Darby. I hardly use my social media platforms as much. I'm mostly very active on like the business platforms. We also have a Facebook group that I'm very active in to serve our clients, myself and my team. And that's BCA Culture Community.
Awesome. Thank you so much for speaking with me today on the Boss Buzz podcast.
Thank you.
It was truly a pleasure, Darby. I mean, a pleasure. You have informed us and took us to school financially. Well, listeners, that concludes today's Boss Buzz. Thank you for tuning in today. And until next time, boss up and be blessed.
You've just listened to the Boss Buzz podcast by Boss Up Magazine. Tune in to our next episode to catch the buzz on the next new boss in town. And until next time, boss up and be blessed.